Tired of being in the dark about your investment? How does your portfolio's performance really measure up? Is your investment plan on or off track? Get the answer at PortfolioReportCard.com. Ron DeLegge's grading system of A, B, C, D, or F will tell you if your 401k plan, IRA, or other investment account passes or fails. But that's not all. If your portfolio gets an A, Ron will pay you $100. Go to PortfolioReportCard.com and find out if you pass or fail.
You're listening to the Index Investing Show. This is America's only weekly program focused on the important stock and bond indexes and the financial products that track them.
And now presenting your host, Ron DeLegge. Ron DeLegge.
All right. Welcome to the program. You're listening to the Index Investing Show. Coming up on today's show, a real life story. A woman by the name of Jean Louise Clement, and we're going to be sharing with you her story and basically a follow-up from last week's show, Assassinating Sacred Cows, about the truth of long-term investing. Also coming up, before you buy stocks, any individual stocks, this is what you need to do. If you'd like to join us to talk about any particular investments, mutual funds, ETFs, investment strategies, investment themes, you can call us. We're here, 877-711-5611. That is the number. Give us your first name along with your city. You can also tweet the program live. At Index Show is my Twitter handle. And tweet us. You can also email me, ron@indexshow.com. Now, I also want to share with you on today's show some tidbits from the just released January 2015 edition of the ETF Profit Strategy Newsletter. And there are some goodies, beginning with the incredible shrinking ruble and Mickey Putin. Who is Mickey Putin? Well, Russian President Vladimir Putin is the Mickey Rourke of politicians. He fist fights bears, he shoots whales, he deep sea dives for sunken treasures. He can even see Alaska from his porch without a telescope. Mickey Putin. Of course, none of Mickey Putin's supermanly testosterone has been able to stop the Russian ruble from being clobbered. Now, versus the U.S. dollar, the ruble has already lost almost half its value in 2014. So is the worst over? Well, aside from sanctions, the crash in oil prices has been the most obvious source of Russia's economic pain. Around 50% of its budget revenues derived from oil and natural gas taxes, and up to one-fourth of its GDP is dependent on the energy sector. Put another way, that's way too much exposure to energy for Russia, particularly when energy prices and commodities are being demolished. Now, the Market Vectors Russia ETF, that's ticker symbol RSX, is down roughly 47% year-to-date, been basically cut in half. And we've talked about it before, but you want to talk about an area where bears have thrived. And there aren't many equity sectors where bears have thrived, but one of them has been shorting Russian stocks. This has been an absolute home run trade. The Direction Daily Russia Bear 3X shares, that's ticker symbol RUSS, has soared almost 200% year to date. And you know what's another interesting fact about Russia's stock market? Apple has a $660 billion market cap, which now exceeds the entire value of Russia's total stock market, which has a capitalization of $385 billion. So basically, that's how much the Russian stock market has been crushed. Apple is now bigger than the entire market. Of course, eventually, for you bottom feeders, Russia will become a great value buy. But not just yet. And the sign of a market bottom is always capitulation selling by disgusted sellers. It's never eager buying by people that want more. So That's just the one thing that's contained within the January 2015 edition of the ETF Profit Strategy newsletter. If you're not a subscriber yet, I encourage you to become one. Go to etfguide.com. I'll be sharing some more tidbits with you. Stay tuned for that. If you'd like to join us, we're here. You want to talk about a particular stock, mutual fund, ETF, 877-711-5611. You can also tweet the program. At Index Show is my Twitter handle. You can pick up our podcast, which basically is an archive of this regular radio broadcast. If you miss our regular show for whatever reason, just pick us up on iTunes or Stitcher Radio. So taking a gander at what the key market indexes are doing globally so far this year, and this will give you an idea of the market trend and what's really happening, not just here in the U.S., but globally. Let's begin with the U.S. Total U.S. stock market, ticker symbol VTI, is the ETF that tracks this area, one of them, ahead by 11.5% since the beginning of the year. Now, international stocks in developed countries have been laggards. We continue to see weakness across the board, particularly in Europe and in South America, as well as Africa. VEA tracks developed market stocks down 7.3%. Emerging market stocks are also down modestly, about 3.5%. That's ticker symbol VWO. Gold, ticker symbol GLD, down 1.2% since the beginning of the year. And we mentioned at the outset of the program, Vladimir Mickey Putin. Question to you is this. I'm particularly interested in how Russia's financial stress is going to impact the gold market. Never mind Russia's $415 billion in foreign currency reserves. How much of these fast dwindling reserves are actually liquid for short-term financing? That's the question. Forget about what the stated figure is. What's their true liquidity? Will Russia be forced to liquidate some of its 1,169 metric tons of gold? Can't wait to see how that turns out. And furthermore, when that happens, and I think it will it push down precious metal prices, which are still, by the way, mired in a three-year bear market? Just can't wait to see how this unfolds. I think there's some great opportunities on the short side for you precious metals bears. So stay tuned for that. Again, 877-711-5611 is the number. We're going to get also into some of your emails a little bit later. Also, I want to talk to you about what you need to do before you buy that next individual stock. I'm seeing these lists, these article covers, these discussions, these debates over which will be the best investments in 2015. Buy this particular stock. Buy this particular ticker symbol. Well, before you do that, here's what you really need to be doing when it comes to building an investment portfolio that has the right architecture. I will get into that. I also want to briefly mention the Santa Claus rally, which typically happens during the last 5 days of the year and the first 2 days of January. Now, if you've been paying attention, the Santa Claus rally is actually arrived. It arrived quite early. The Vanguard Total U.S. Stock Market ETF, ticker symbol VTI, is already up 10% since mid-October. So, yes, Santa Claus arrived early. Now, over the past 64 years, the market, U.S. stock market, has gained on average 1.5% the last 5 days of the year and the first 2 days of January. That's history. A gain of 1.5%. I think more important than that, though, is what happens if the Santa Claus rally does not happen or if it fails. Historically, that has led to either a bear market or a sharp correction. So, Santa Claus rally update, you just got it. One other asset class I forgot to mention, actually two. BND tracks a total U.S. bond market ahead by 3.4%. Bonds continue to do well. And then U.S. real estate, also known as REITs, on fire, ahead by 27%. since the beginning of the year. So long as rates remain low, sectors that are sensitive to interest rates like REITs will do well. I'm Ron DeLegge. This is the Index Investing Show. I'll be right back.
The Index Investing Show with Ron DeLegge.
Well, if there was one tune that perfectly describes Wall Street strategists, it would be that 1942 song by Harry James, I Heard That Song Before. Now, Wall Street has been and continues to be absolutely wrong about the direction of interest rates. And their predictions for 2015 are the same as 2014, higher rates. Now, never mind that they were wrong in a very bad way about the direction of rates in 2014. 2014 isn't even yet over, and they're already predicting, these talking heads, they're already predicting higher interest rates. Now, last month's issue of the ETF Profit Strategy Newsletter, which I shared with you last month, we gave you some great, absolutely great historical perspective about how long it actually takes for U.S. interest rates to hit rock bottom. Now, going back to the 1820s, history shows that the bottoming process in interest rates has taken, on average, between 10 to 15 years. Now, that was the case after the Erie Canal construction. It was the case after the 1907 panic. It was the case after World War II. And guess what? It might be the case this time around, and it looks like it could be, because if 2008 is our beginning point for this current bottoming cycle in bond yields, that would imply at least another 4 to 9 years of a low yield environment based upon historical norms of 10 to 15 years. It would also translate into more gains ahead for bond investors, because that's what happens when interest rates go down. Bond prices rise. It's an inverse relationship. So never mind Wall Street's doom and gloom predictions about bonds. The current trend, the actual rate trend right now, shows that yields continue to collapse, pushing up bond prices. This has been one of the best tactical alerts that I've given to subscribers of ETFGuide.com to the Profit Strategy Newsletter. This is something that we've talked about all year long. We've got time-stamped alerts, that one in early March to buy TLT, which is the iShares 20-plus year Treasury bond ETF. We're still long that position. That one, since the beginning of the year, has gained 23% and easily outperformed the S&P 500. And then, of course, there's the ProShares Ultra 20-plus year ETF, ticker symbol UBT, which we added in September. That particular ETF, since the beginning of the year, has also spiked almost 60% in value. That's been a great trade. And then even more aggressive is TMF, which adds triple daily leverage to that same theme of being long-term U.S. Treasuries. That's ticker symbol TMF, which is up even more than the two previously mentioned ETFs, TLT and UBT. Are we still bullish on long-term bonds? I guess that's the question, right? Everyone can tell you what they did in the past, but are we still bullish? Well, my trading discipline for the non-core part of your portfolio, and I'll get into what that means a little bit later on today's show, explaining to you what the non-core part of your portfolio is, but really the trading discipline is relatively simple. As TLT and UBT rise, and by the way, you can apply this to any individual ETFs that you may own, or stocks that you may own, or assets that you may own that are exchange traded. This applies across the board, and I think it's a pretty good strategy. As TLT and UBT rise, we increase our trailing stop loss price accordingly. Now, this was done this past week because TLT and UBT popped. And so we subsequently increased our stop losses, our trailing stop losses. And guess what? If we don't get stopped out, we remain long. Why double guess the market? No reason to do it. So we don't get stopped out. We stay long. And this type of strategy allows us to let our winners to ride and let them ride higher while simultaneously protecting our downside. If for some reason these positions break lower or they want to correct or they want to not cooperate, well, then we're out. And that's what a disciplined stop loss does for you. 877-711-5611 is the number. I'm Ron DeLegge. You're listening to the Index Investing Show. If you'd like to join us to talk about a particular stock, mutual fund, ETF, you want to talk about anything financial, I'm game. As you probably noticed, I'm not doing a portfolio report card on today's show. We're going to take a little bit of a hiatus on that, but portfolio report card will be back. I've got several report cards that I'm working on from listeners just like you that have reached out to me and said, Ron, I love this portfolio report card thing that you're doing. And I want my portfolio, I want you to put it on the operating table. I want you to dissect it. I want you to analyze it. And I want you, Ron, to tell me if I'm doing it right. So if you want to get a free portfolio report card where I analyze and grade your portfolio, and I'll even pay you $100 if your portfolio gets an A, go to portfolioreportcard.com and get in touch with me. So portfolio report card, again, will be back in the coming weeks. Now, I want to talk to you about something that's very, you know, what can I say? I mean, I love assassinating financial myths. I love assassinating things that just simply aren't true. And on last week's show, we assassinated some sacred cows about long-term investing. And we showed you very clearly why long-term investing is not the panacea to whatever investment problems you may face as an investor. Now, this is not the way it's sold to you or to me by the financial services industry. It seems like they preach to us that long-term investing is going to solve everything, that, you know, all the problems around us. You know, just buy and hold, buy and hold, buy and hold. That's the bias of the financial services industry. And so I want to share with you on today's show, in fact, right now, a real life story of a woman by the name of Jean Louise Calment. This is a real life example that really shows you that this theory of long-term investing doesn't always necessarily work out. Now, she was born in Arles, France on February 21st, 1875. Now, by the time she was 90 years old, in 1965, she figured that it was time to cash in and retire. She was 90 years old. So Calment agreed to sell her apartment to her lawyer, Francis Raffery. Now, for Raffery, at the time, when he executed this transaction, he was just 47 years old. And so from his perspective, it was an ideal long-term investment, one that would surely be profitable. So he agreed to pay Calment monthly installments until she died. Now, like 99.9% of long-term mutual fund investors, Raffery was already analyzing, projecting, and reanalyzing his unearned winnings because, well, time was on his side. He was a long-term investor. There was no way he could possibly lose. So 10 years blew by, and by 1975, Calment was still alive. And Raffery was forced to keep paying her these monthly installments. His long-term investment had yet to pay off, but soon it would. Soon he would be vindicated, like all long-term investors are, right? Meanwhile, he kept analyzing, he kept projecting, he kept looking at his future gains and calculating. Eventually, the year 1985 arrived. And to everyone's great marvel, except Raffery, Calment wasn't just alive, but she was doing all the things that 110-year-old people shouldn't be doing. She was fencing. She was cooking. She was bicycling. and Raffery was forced to keep paying. So what happened? I'll explain to you the truth of long-term investing coming up next. This is the Index Investing Show.
The Index Investing Show with Ron DeLegge.
Are you frustrated with how your investments never seem to grow? Do you feel like your investment plan might be off track? Are you concerned about your portfolio's fees, taxes, and risk? If you answered yes to any of these questions, you're not alone. Get the help you need with Ron DeLegge's free portfolio report card. Get a snapshot of your current investments and find out if your financial plan is really on track. Go to etfguide.com and click on Ron's portfolio report card. Millions of people are investing blindly in the stock market. Don't be one of them. Ron DeLegge's free portfolio report card tells you everything you need to know about your portfolio's fees, taxes, and risk. Go to etfguide.com and click on Ron's portfolio report card. Traditional IRA, Roth IRA, 401k plan, or brokerage account. It doesn't matter what you have. Ron's free portfolio report card will tell you everything you need to know. Go to etfguide.com and click on Ron's portfolio report card. Don't invest without it.
So, continuing this story, this real-life story of why long-term investing is not the panacea to whatever investment problems you or I face or the rest of the public, that's not the magic potion for fixing a bear market or for repairing ill-timed investment moves or otherwise healing a person's masochistic financial tendencies. Long-term investing is simply not the panacea. And I'm explaining this to you with a real-life story of Jean-Louis Calmette, who was born in Arles, France, on February 21st, 1875, and she agreed to sell her apartment to her lawyer, Francis Raffery, who at the time she executed this, she was 90, he was 47. And for him, it was an ideal long-term investment, one that would surely be profitable. Well, the years pass by and we arrive at 1985, and to everyone's great marvel and excitement, except Raffery's, Calmette wasn't just alive, but she was roller skating, she was bicycling, she was cooking, she was fencing. This is a woman who was 110 years old. And so Raffery, according to the agreement he executed with her, was forced to pay her monthly installments. That was the agreement. He would pay her monthly installments until she passed away, and then he would get her apartment. Well, guess what happened? 10 more years passed, and 1995 arrived. And Calmette was still alive, defying mortality statistics and snubbing the Grim Reaper. Then the long-term investing game suddenly came to its screeching finality. Raffery died of cancer at age 77, leaving his widow with an unlucky inheritance, the responsibility of paying Calmette another 20 months before her death in August 4th of 1997. This is a real-life story, ladies and gentlemen. Raffery's real-life experience is a textbook example that no amount of long-term planning can compensate for an errant investment bought in the wrong year, or bought at the wrong price, or bought or transacted from the wrong someone. Running into the incorrect long-term period or person can end badly. Then again, if you're fortunate enough to live to the overripe age of 122, like Calmette did, you might have plenty of time to recover from your mistakes. But even so, I strongly caution you to be very, very careful about the long-term investment decisions that you make, especially between ages 115 to 121. That's a very dangerous time frame to be making long-term investment decisions in. But ultimately, my point is that long-term investing, like all investing, is fraught with uncertainty. And waiting a few decades for your investments to produce gains certainly puts the odds in your favor. but it hardly guarantees a pleasant outcome. 877-711-5611 is the number. You're listening to the Index Investing Show. I'm your host, Ron DeLegge. That real-life story, by the way, appeared in my book, Gents With No Sense, A Closer Look at Wall Street, Its Customers, Financial Regulators, and the Media. And I encourage you, if you haven't picked up a copy of Gents With No Sense, go get it. Go get it. And if you don't like it, I'll give you a money back refund, because it's almost a 5-star rated reader book, and readers just absolutely love it. And with a title like Gents With No Sense, I mean, how can you lose? Go to Amazon.com and pick up a copy. Now, I also want to mention, we've been sharing tidbits from my just recently released January 2015 edition of the ETF Profit Strategy Newsletter. I want to share with you something quickly before we talk about what you should be doing before you buy any more individual stocks or put anything on your buy list looking ahead to the new year. But for you income-oriented investors, we executed our monthly income trade for January. Now, we always do this 1 month in advance. And so our ETF income mix portfolio, which has been around since 2012, this particular month, our income trade, which is on a all ETF portfolio, we sell covered calls, and it's a very simple strategy. It's not market timing. We just do this every month and keep ringing in cash flow. And this particular trade for January, we collected around $1,000 of monthly income from our current trade. And we're using two ETFs, GLD and SPY, in the portfolio currently. And if you'd like to find out the specifics on what those exact trades were and which particular call options we sold, just go to ETFguide.com and click on the ETF Profit Strategy Newsletter and become a subscriber. Now, again, going back to February of 2012, the income mix portfolio has generated over $28,000 or $829 per month over the past 34 months. So it's a proven income strategy, and it's one that we've been using in the income mix portfolio at ETF Guide. Now, I want to talk with you about something that's very important before you make your grocery list of what you're going to buy going into the new year in terms of investments. What you absolutely must do before you do that is to build the core of your investment portfolio, or the foundation of your investment portfolio. That's where you begin. And this is really the sensible approach to having a sound investment portfolio. It's the same as erecting a well-built home. You start with the foundation. You start with the core. That's where you begin. Then once you've built that foundation or core, then you can begin to build out the rest of the house or the non-core, but you begin ground floor up. Now, attempting to shortcut this crucial step by jumping into other sections of the house without first completing the foundation isn't just irrational, but it's bad engineering. Really, really, really bad engineering. And this is the same concept that applies to your investment portfolio. If you're buying individual stocks, if you're investing in venture capital, if you're investing in private equity, and you're doing this without first having properly constructed the core of your portfolio, the foundation, it's bad engineering. It's irrational. It's wrong. Now, what should the core of your portfolio own? Well, that is always the five major asset classes. Those five major asset classes: stocks, bonds, real estate, commodities, and cash. Those are the five biggies. Those are the five major asset classes that all well-built, architecturally sound investment portfolios should absolutely have exposure to. Stocks, bonds, real estate, commodities, cash, period. Okay? And the best way to get exposure to these areas is to use broadly diversified, low-cost index funds or ETFs that are excellent proxies for these asset classes. That is the foundation of your portfolio. Now, I want to get into a question, and I'll have to do this for the next segment, from a listener who was very shocked at something I said about the core portfolio. And I want to share that email with you in the next segment. But this is what you do before you engage in this discussion of what you're going to buy or invest in for 2015. You first build the core of your portfolio. That is your priority. That is what comes first. That is what takes absolute prominence in any investment plan, is the core of the portfolio. And then from there, you can invest in all those other non-core assets, things like private equity, things like venture capital, things like currencies or leveraged funds or what have you. But again, you've got to have some sense in your head. You've got to have a good plan, and you begin with the core, which is good engineering. I'm Ron DeLegge. This is the Index Investing Show. Go nowhere.
Investing Show with Ron DeLegge.
Okay, before I get to some of your emails, I want to do some trivia. And I've been holding this back the entire show, but here it is. Let me lay it on you. Which is the only S&P 500 industry sector in negative territory for 2014? Is it A, financials? Is it B, materials? Is it C, energy? Or is it D, utilities? Which is the only S&P 500 sector in negative territory for 2014? If you know the answer, call the show, 877-711-5611. And give us your answer. The winner will get a copy of my book, Wall Street Coloring Book. That was my second book. You'll get a complimentary copy if you know the right answer. Which is the only S&P 500 sector in negative territory? Is it financials, materials, energy, or utilities? Again, 877-711-5611. And now, let's get into some of your emails. Dear Ron, I've been listening to you and subscribed to the Profit Strategy Newsletter for a while and have heard you mention core portfolio many times. But in a recent podcast, it was the first time I heard you say that you should never sell the components of the core. Given everything else you say about stop loss order protection, I was surprised to hear that. Are you suggesting that a core portfolio ride the waves of the market no matter what? Signed, Eric in New Hampshire. And this is absolutely a great, great question. And I know it's something that many of you wonder. Well, the core, is that something you should just buy and hold? So let me give you the correct answer on this, okay? The core, like I explained in the previous segment, and like I will explain in writing, because I don't want to just explain it to you verbally, but I like to explain it to you in writing so that I'm absolutely clear about this. And this, by the way, will be in my upcoming book, due out in early 2015. The core is your foundation. That is where you begin. And if you're still in the accumulation phase of your investment plan, you will always be 100% invested. Now, unlike the non-core part of your investment portfolio, your core will never attempt to be tactical by speculating, by market timing, or by purposely excluding major asset classes. That is not the function of the core or the foundation of your portfolio. Therefore, this absurd debate of whether to be fully invested or in cash is never a dilemma when it comes to a person's core portfolio, because the core is always fully invested in a diversified mixture of distinctly different asset classes. Now, the only thing that will ever change about the core is the percentage allocations to each asset class. So, for example, if you're rebalancing your portfolio, maybe at the end of the year, or you're lightening up on a certain asset class like stocks or bonds or commodities or whatever else, you can lower your exposure to that asset class. But remember, your core portfolio will never, ever completely eliminate coverage to a major asset class. Why? Because a core portfolio is not the place to be making tactical market timing decisions or to purposely exclude major asset classes. That type of activity is always reserved for the non-core portfolio, which complements the core. Remember, a person's core portfolio, your core portfolio, will never be more strategic than this, and that is obtaining the correct level of exposure to core asset classes. I mentioned five: stocks, bonds, commodities, cash, real estate. Those are the five biggies. And you get the correct level of exposure to these core asset classes in the sense that perfectly matches you. And then you periodically rebalance for realignment. Finally, if you're in the decumulation phase of your investment plan, and this is important, if you're in the decumulation phase of your investment plan, that means you're selling assets, you're generating income, you're retired, you're using your investments to supplement your lifestyle or to support your lifestyle because you no longer work, you're retired. Yes, you can sell assets within your core portfolio to meet your income or liquidity needs. And that would be the only exception as to when you would sell core assets within your portfolios if you're either rebalancing or you're using those proceeds to supplement your income and your lifestyle. Let's go to Angel in San Jose, California. Angel, welcome to the Index Investing Show. Angel, welcome to the program. Angel, are you there?
Hello?
Yes, Angel, welcome to the show. Talk to us.
Oh, thank you, Ron.
Talk to us. You're on the air.
Yeah, I'm calling regarding the question on the show.
What is the answer? Before you tell us, let me set this up again. Which is the only S&P 500 sector in negative territory? Is it A, financials, B, materials, C, energy, or D, utilities?
C, energy.
We've got a winner. Angel just called it. That's correct. The energy sector is the only S&P 500 industry sector that is in negative year-to-date territory for 2014. XLE is the ticker symbol, down almost 8% since the beginning of the year. And of course, I should mention, many of the individual stocks within this are down much larger than that 8% loss for the overall sector. The other eight industry sectors within the S&P 500 all in positive territory. Angel, excellent job. Well done.
Thank you.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I'll be listening to a show every Sunday from now on.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. And we appreciate having you as a listener. Feel free to call in anytime. If you want to talk about anything financial on your mind, throw us a couple ticker symbols. You want to get a portfolio report card, I'm game. You want to just call to harass me, I'm fully acceptable with that. I'm a perfectly harassable type of person. Of course, I don't prefer to be harassed, but regardless, it's great to have you with us, Angel. Stay on the line. We're going to grab your mailing information, and we'll get you a copy of the Wall Street Coloring Book, which actually I wrote in 2012, and actually I hired an artist, an illustrator, to help me execute that book. And boy, was it a fun book. It's really more of a coffee table piece, but I think Angel will enjoy it. And that book, too, by the way, is available at Amazon.com. Just search under the Wall Street Coloring Book. Now, contained within my just published ETF Profit Strategy newsletter for January 2015, we already shared with you some tidbits about the incredible shrinking ruble and Vladimir Putin, the Mickey Rourke of politicians. He fist fights bears, he shoots whales, he deep sea dives for sunken treasures. He does everything but prevent the ruble from collapsing. That's pretty much Mickey Putin. So we talked about that in the January 2015 just released Profit Strategy newsletter. We also have ETF performance trends, my global equity map, which outlines visually all the major geographic regions and what's happening there. Also, my mega investment theme report, which outlines the top 10 mega investment themes globally. You've got that. Also, I've got an upcoming webinar for financial advisors. That comes up in January, and that's mentioned there in the Profit Strategy newsletter. I do a monthly portfolio workshop for advisors. I teach them how to analyze and grade portfolios using Ron DeLegge's Breakthrough Portfolio Report Card System. If you're an advisor and you want to join my next portfolio workshop, get in touch with me. Just go to etfguide.com. Also, a great article by my colleague, Chad Carnes, who does the weekly technical forecast. Oil is sub 100, and he says leaving the energy sector in a massive bubble. So even though energy stocks and energy prices have come down, according to Chad's analysis, which I think is outstanding, he still sees the energy sector in a massive, massive bubble. He lays out the numbers and the facts and stats. That will do it for another episode of the Index Investing Show. Tune in next week. And until we meet again, may the market indexes be with you.
The opinions expressed in this broadcast are not necessarily that of our advertisers, sponsors, or broadcast partners. The discussion of investing is general and should not be construed as investment advice or an offer to buy or sell securities. Listeners are responsible for their own investment decisions and results. Before investing in mutual funds or ETFs, always consult a prospectus for risk, charges, expenses, and other information. Read the prospectus carefully before investing. Past performance is not indicative of future results. No reproduction or dissemination of the Index Investing Show is permitted without the expressed written consent of its producers.